I'm Joel Baden, Professor of Hebrew Bible and Director of the Center for Continuing Education here at Yale Divinity School. As part of our bicentennial celebration, I've been sitting down with my colleagues from across the faculty, from all the different areas of the curriculum, to talk about where their fields have been, but more, where they are now and where they think they might be going in the next 25 or 50 years. As we look back at our past here at YDS, what does the future look like for our education, for our curriculum, for our faculty and our students? I hope you enjoyed these conversations as much as I enjoyed having them. I'm delighted to have Professor Jennifer Hurt here to talk to me about the ethics program here at YDS, where it's been, but more where it's going, looking ahead at this occasion of our bicentennial. So Jennifer, thanks for taking the time, first of all.
Delighted to be here.
I have very little sense of sort of what the shape of the ethics field has been up to this point. Maybe you can give a little bit of background about sort of study of Christian ethics more broadly.
Yeah, I would love to. If you think about Christian ethics, it didn't exist prior to the 16th century. Mm-hmm. And yet ethics as a discipline is ancient.
Right.
So ethics was part of philosophy, and it was part of the medieval university curriculum as part of philosophy. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't Christian ethical reflection. There certainly was. It was done within theology, trying to figure out how reflection on the highest end and the supreme good and the virtues and the relationship between divine and natural and human law, all of that, how pagan philosophical reflection on these things could be integrated into Christian understandings that were also, of course, very deeply shaped by biblical understandings of right relationship with God and neighbor and so on. So Christian ethics emerges in the 16th century. We see moral theology within Catholic, in the Catholic world, mm-hmm. really an effort to try to train priests better. So that's a discipline that at the outset was very focused on training priests to hear confessions and figure out what proper penances should be. And then we also, at the same time, in Reformed theological circles, see the first explicit mention in a treatise that has the title Christian Ethics and is trying very explicitly to say Christian ethics should not be this philosophical discourse, but it should be drawn exclusively from biblical tenets. So that then, you know, develops over the centuries. I think it's interesting to think about what 1823, right? The founding year of the Divinity School.
Yeah.
So it's a few decades after the death of Kant. It is the year before Schleiermacher died. And it's, I think Kierkegaard was 10 years old at the time. So, I mean, certainly a time when American theological reflection was very focused on Europe and was thinking through those philosophical changes, shifts, and still a lot of continuity with the past in the sense that ethics as a field looked to philosophy, thought of itself as heavily philosophical as well as theological. So I assume that at that time that it would have been a discourse that would have been present at the Divinity School and very much looking toward those European conversations.
And as we've sort of come into the more contemporary landscape here at YDS, and I guess in the field more generally, where does the field fall between, I guess, theology and philosophy, if that's the space?
Yeah, well, I think in order to make sense of that, we have to think about maybe the most important change between 1823 and now, sort of big picture, would have been the rise of the social gospel. So 1870 to 1920, something like that, where you see a new kind of Christian ethical discourse, which is oriented not to philosophy, but to the social sciences, which were really just emerging at the time. Mm-hmm. And there's, on the one hand, a real excitement about rediscovering the teaching of Jesus about the kingdom of God, and we're going to, with our agency, help to bring that about in the contemporary world, and the sense that the tools that one needed in order to do that came from the social sciences. So that's really an important shift, if you think about the thousands of years of ethical reflection within the Christian world, that's a huge shift. Social, the social gospel peters out, but it leaves a lasting imprint on the field of Christian ethics. So interesting to think about the social gospel. There were black social gospel thinkers as well as white social gospel thinkers from the get-go. So it was racially diverse. There were women involved in the field. So you already start to see some diversification of the kinds of sources as well as kinds of experiences that were seen as relevant to Christian ethical reflection at that time. And there's certainly a dark side to the social gospel. It was bound up with manifest destiny. It was bound up with American exceptionalism and the view of the Indian problem that needed to be solved. So I think as we move out of the social gospel phase, we see Christian ethics as being really very diverse and interdisciplinary. You never see the disappearance of reflection on the highest good and the virtues and natural law and divine law. And you see, for example, a black natural law tradition that comes out of the reform strand of reflection that is critiquing slavery and that we see in James Pennington. I would want to claim him for the history of Christian ethics at Yale Divinity School. And he's very much drawing on some of the oldest strands of Christian ethical reflection in the arguments that he's making. But we see then as the decades march on, a strong influence of liberationist thought on Christian ethics and in all of its varied forms. And then in terms of methodologies, we see ongoing innovation. And that is very much bound up with increasing recognition of the narrowness of the sources that have been most central in the past and the ways in which the methodologies of the past have privileged certain voices and excluded others.
Yeah, that's a theme that you see really across virtually every field that we study at YDS and probably across the humanities more broadly. But what does that look like? What does that look like in terms of the makeup of how we teach ethics here? I think in our time here, that we've seen that shift happening a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, methodologically, we see inclusion of things like engagement with the arts as a source for Christian ethical reflection. We see a turn to ethnographic approaches. We see a turn to material culture. And I'm sure, again, this is something you're seeing across the disciplines. And that really is very self-con. It's not just, let's innovate, let's do something different. It's very much an effort to correct the exclusion of various voices and experiences from our modes of reflection. So that shows in what we teach. It shows in who we're reading. It, of course, shows in who is doing the teaching as well. Ethics was one of the areas at Yale Divinity School where we had women on the faculty. One of the earliest subfields in which there were women teaching on the faculty. And I think that once there were women on the faculty, there never has been a time without women on the faculty. But it's really only been in the last 10 years that we've had, we've had African-American faculty also continuously for decades as well. And so that has shaped, also shaped our teaching. But I think what you now see is that kind of diversity of voices and experiences and methodologies filtering into all of our courses. So it's not, there's X course over there that deals with people of color and their experiences, but it's permeating.
Right. What we do. And obviously for the students who are now learning in that environment, in a sense, their experience of what Christian ethics is must be somewhat different from what it would have been 50 or 100 years earlier here. The field itself is a different beast now.
It absolutely is. And yet, I still find it fruitful to say teach natural law and go back to the age of exploration and conquest and so on and have them encounter the ways in which natural law discourse was used to promote European colonialization and slavery and so on, and also at the very same time was being used to attack these things. And so I do think it's really important that they retain a deep sense of historical perspective and of continuity amidst change in terms of the tools that are used for Christian ethical reflection.
Sure. As you look ahead, and sort of as we imagine the future of the field or the future of teaching Christian ethics at YDS, what's possible? What's desirable? What do you think it's going to look like in the future? Are we going to, aside from presumably going down the same sort of productive roads that we're going down, is there something more that you might hope for or something? What else is
out there
for us?
That's always a hard question, because really anything that we want to happen now. And so we're doing it, right? But I do want to bring in one more thing that I haven't really surfaced, which is the fact that I think for the dominant forms of ethical reflection in the West have been focused on the human experience. And in some sense, that's understandable because we're trying to figure out how it is that human beings should act. We're the agents here,
right?
But on the other hand, the forms of ethical reflection that we've inherited have not always been very good at helping us think about how we relate to the more than human world.
Mm-hmm.
How do we relate to the natural world around us? How do we relate to other living things? And so I think as we now are increasingly aware of the interdependency of all forms of life and the permeability of the boundaries of any individual organism and so on, that's another source of new vitality and new urgency.
Sure, I mean, we started the religion
done to the planet.
Yeah, we started a religion and ecology program, which I assume is bound up in that same kind of question.
Yes, and you know, I've been teaching classes that, of course, are both in religion and ecology and in ethics, and a lot of our students in the ethics track have deep concerns about human responsibility for the planet and for messing it up. And again, I know that permeates the disciplines as well.
Yeah. I mean, not to make anything sound like a linear, but it does sound like, as is so often the case, Christian ethics is expanding, has been expanding over time, as we've been discussing, and will presumably continue to do so. I'm not saying eventually we'll be doing, you know, ethics of alien life, but who knows? I mean, it's the next frontier, right?
we absolutely need to be asking those questions in the field of astrobiology. Even if I scratched my head when I first heard the term, is trying to think about these questions and maybe closer to home, ethical reflection on artificial intelligence has been happening, but needs to be ramped up. I don't just mean, you know, the boring stuff about whether we allow students to use ChatGPT or not, but really grappling with questions about how we treat artificial intelligence.
Sure. I watch my kids yell at Siri and I'm like, should we?
yeah. For example.
Yeah. Terrific. Well, thank you again for making the time to talk today, and just really appreciate it. Thanks.
It's been fun. Thank you.